but I passed the breath test. This is McDaniel Reynolds with the Reynolds Defense Firm, and we specialize in one thing. We represent good people facing DUI charges. While you know that it's illegal to drive with a .08 or greater blood alcohol content, not everyone knows that you could be arrested in Oregon for an alcohol DUI even if you blow well under a .08. This is a pretty loose standard, and it's a way that many of the good people we represent find themselves needing our help when they thought they were doing everything right. The Reynolds Defense Firm. We're solid, we're here if you need us, and we are very good at what we do.
You've got the home of the truth. Back to the bald-faced truth with John Canzano on 750 The Game.
We were talking about the Oregon Ducks earlier in the program. Nobody better to talk about Oregon's upcoming football season than our next guest. Zachary Neal covers Oregon for USA Today's Ducks Wire. He's also the co-host of Believe in Oregon podcast with Jonathan Stewart. He is a University of Oregon alum as well, and he's joining us live via satellite. How's your summer, man?
It's good, John. How are you doing?
Doing well. What have you done so far? What are you planning to do with the summer?
It's been, so I've got two young kids, both under the age of three. So it's been a lot of, you know, sitting in the backyard with the sprinklers, kind of taking some bike rides, stuff like that. Nothing too excessive.
That's okay. Got to take it easy. You're in survival mode right now with young kids. I love it.
Man, that's the truth.
All right, a little bit different feel to this off season for Oregon. And it might just be me, but I don't quite sense the hype that we had a year ago with Dylan Gabriel. Now it's a Dante Moore question. How are you reading sort of the off-season buzz around Oregon at this point?
Going into this year, it's a prove-it season for Oregon. I mean, we know at the height of Oregon Duck football, we know what they can be. We've seen it the past couple of years. I mean, this should be a playoff team, a national championship contender when things are rolling. Like you said, going into this year, there's just kind of a lot of unknowns. You don't have a five-year quarterback under center. You got someone who's going to be kind of a first-time starter with Dante Moore. I mean, he started a few games at UCLA, but again, we need to see it. They got to prove it. Same thing with this defense and a lot of the offense, too. A lot of young guys, really highly rated recruits when they came in. A lot of talent, just not a lot of starts, not a lot of stats to really look at. So you got to prove it. I mean, they've got a few games at the start of the year to kind of get their feet wet. Week five, they go to Penn State. That's going to be a huge prove-it game for them. If they can look, you know, if they can hold their own against Penn State, maybe walk out of Beaver Stadium with a win, then I think the rise of this team nationally, the perception of them is going to blow up because it's like, all right, we see what they are now. We think they can compete at that high level, but we got to see it first.
Zachary, the quarterback, Dante Moore, did you see enough in the spring game to make you believe he can be the guy, or do you still need to, you know, back to your point, you still need to see him prove it?
Yeah, I think we need to see a little bit more. I've seen enough, like, small sample size snippets, whether at UCLA or, you know, a few throws here and there last year, again, a little bit in the spring game, to at least be convinced that he can be the guy. I'm not convinced he is the guy yet. I want to see that in game action, maybe two or three games of it before I'm, you know, really confident saying, all right, Oregon has this next potentially dominant quarterback that can lead them to the playoff. I need to see a little bit more from that, but I at least feel comfortable saying, yes, he has the tools. He's a guy that could be that. But again, I want to see him actually succeed on Saturdays before I really put all of my eggs in that basket.
What have we learned about Dan Lanning? And are you seeing any differences in Lanning at this point of this, or do you need to kind of get into media day, have a better chance to talk with him, see him after practices, changes in Dan Lanning that you've noticed?
Man, that's a good question. I'm not going to lie. I did not expect that one. We've learned a lot about him. I don't think he's changing too much anymore. I feel like we kind of know who he is at this point. He's someone that's a really good coach, an incredible recruiter. His staff and his players love him. He may not care too much about what the outside world thinks about him, i.e. the media members or the fans, but I think that's okay. That's not who he's out to please. He's out to win championship and make sure that his players and the players' families love him. So I don't think that we would learn anything new about him over the next few months, you know, whether it's this offseason or once we get to the season. He says what he thinks, he does what he wants to do, and he's pretty good at doing it so far.
I am eager to see, you know, this Penn State game on the road. But I'm also I kind of go into this year, Zachary, circling that one as if Oregon loses that game, not the end of their season. Maybe we learned it from Ohio State a year ago. But what do you think is at stake in that whiteout game in week five?
Yeah, I think you and I have actually talked about that before, that if they lose that game, we're kind of going to this NFL model where it's fine if you lose a game or two in the regular season, you can still make the playoff. But that is one of those moments where, you know, you have a chance to show that you are of the caliber of a team that can make it to the playoff and win a championship if you are at least competitive in that game and if you can walk out of there with a win. If you go into Penn State and you get, you know, the doors blown off you like the Rose Bowl, then there may be some more questions about this team, about Dante Moore, about Dan Lanning's development, because this is really his team now, his recruits, his guys that he's brought in and developed. So depending on how they look, I think you'll get a lot of narratives out of it for the rest of the season. But again, that is the I'm happy that game's kind of semi-early on the schedule, because I think it's a good litmus test for this team. I think we will learn a lot about them.
I am talking with Zachary Neal, USA Today's Ducks Wire. You're a student at Oregon, and now you're covering the team at Oregon. How does that feel to you? Do you lose some of your fandom when you get in the trenches and you're interviewing and you're looking at games with a critical eye? It's not the same as being in the student section, is it?
Yeah, it's definitely different. I miss being in the student section, but I also started covering the team. I covered the team a little bit while I was in college for the local TV station, KVAL, so I kind of learned how to take that fan hat off pretty early. But, you know, as I think Scott Van Pelt famously says, we're all from somewhere. You know, everyone in this industry has a team, you know, whether they cover them or not. I'm in a unique scenario where I happen to cover the team that I grew up loving. It's a little bit tough, but, you know, when I'm working, you got to take the fan hat off and get your work hat on and be unbiased. Sometimes it's difficult. You know, been at pretty big games like Ohio State win here last year, there in 2021. Those were incredible experiences as an Oregon fan. They're also incredible experiences working the games and being there on the field for them. So very blessed to do what I do. I absolutely love it. But yeah, sometimes it is a little bit difficult to separate that fandom from the actual work.
Oregon has a defense that has some questions. They've lost some guys. Tosh Lapoy, the D coordinator, I watched him. I don't know if you saw him on the field after the win over Penn State in the Big Ten championship game. He was really the only guy not celebrating. He's kind of standing off to the side. I could tell he didn't like giving up the yards and the points to the Nittany Lions. Then Ohio State got him. How big of a season is this for Tosh in that defense?
Yeah, it's massive. I think not just the fact that they gave up the yards and the points against Penn State, but the way in which they did. You know, they kind of got ran all over in that game, and I forget what the final score was off the top of my head. Forgive me, I'm in off-season mode. But to give up those type of numbers and that type of scoring is, you know, not something any defensive coordinator wants to do. So I think, as is with the rest of the team, it's a big year for Tosh to prove it. I know that a lot of the fan base looks at some of the results and says, you know, fire Tosh Lapoy. I'm not one of those people. I think he's a very incredible coach, great recruiter, very talented. It's just a time where he needs to step up. You can't be good 9-10 games out of the season and then have a couple of outliers. You need to be, you know, have a really solid defensive effort and game plan every single week of the season. So it's a big year for him to do that.
Penn State scored 37 points in that loss. 45-37 was the final.
Thank you.
Ducks gave up 297 rushing yards to Penn State on only 34 carries, almost 9 yards a carry on the ground for Penn State. It was a eye-opening performance. I'm sure Chip Kelly watched the film of that and went, okay, I like what I see there. We're talking to Zachary Neal, who covers Oregon. You know, the loss of Evan Stewart, the wide receiver core. I saw the spring game. You saw the spring game. I saw a bunch of young receivers. I'm not too worried about it, but maybe I should be. What did you make of Evan Stewart's injury?
Yeah, it's definitely a tough one. I mean, going into this year without players like Tez Johnson and Treshawn Holden and Terrence Ferguson, you were already going to rely on a lot of young guys at the receiving core. You had Evan Stewart to feel good about. He was going to be one of the top returning receivers in the nation. Now he's gone for likely the entire year. So, yes, true freshman DeCorian Moore could have one of those seasons, not to compare him to Jeremiah Smith or Ryan Williams, but there's expectations that he is the number one guy here. There's other guys on this roster, again, that are highly rated recruits that just need the opportunity to produce. You know, someone like Justice Lowe or Kyler Casper or even former five-star Jurion Dickey, got my eyes on them. Other young guys like Jeremiah McClellan could be really good. So there's guys that will have the opportunity to step up and see what they can do. It's a golden opportunity if you're a young wide receiver in Oregon, because there's a lot of catches to go around, and that's without me even mentioning Kenyon Sadiq, who could be the biggest winner in this of all, if you want to name someone a winner from an injury, which doesn't really feel great.
Yeah, but you're right about Kenyon Sadiq. You saw him really in that Penn State game, that Big Ten championship game, and you know, jumping over somebody, score a touchdown. I was like, whoa, who's this guy? And then now we see him in the spring game. You can tell what a factor he's going to be in Will Stein's offense. Biggest question for you that we haven't talked about, that narrows it down, something we haven't talked about that you're worried about.
I'm really curious to see, I think we've talked about this a little bit, I'm curious to see how Dan Lanning carries this team in a national perspective, mainly on like the social media front over the next year, because we've seen him be, you know, very bold and, dare I say, kind of outlandish over the past couple of years by saying what he wants to say, giving the quotes that fire up the nation, the college football world, and then they kind of fell flat on their face once the Rose Bowl came last year. So I'm curious to see what this kind of braggadocious nature looks like going forward. Are they going to be the team that's calling themselves, you know, the dominant team in the Big Ten before going to the Big Ten championship and then the Rose Bowl and losing to another Big Ten team? Or are they going to kind of, you know, tone it down a little bit? I'm just curious to see what the outside perspective is going forward.
Zachary Neal, find him, USA Today, Ducks Wire. All right, you do a podcast with Jonathan Stewart. What's that like for you?
It's been a lot of fun, man. I've got we were talking about the fan hat earlier. I've got a poster with Jonathan Stewart and Dennis Dixon on my wall that I'm looking at right now. So growing up, I was a huge fan. Got the opportunity last year to start a podcast with him. It's been a very fun ride. I don't know how much time you spent with him or talked to him before, but he is a character, to say the least. I had a lot of fun with him.
Yeah, and you're not just talking football on that podcast. You guys talk about everything.
We end up talking a lot of golf, honestly. I'm a big golfer. JCU is a big golfer. We spend a lot of our, I'm sure some of our listeners wish we would talk a little bit less about golf and more football, but we have a lot of fun.
I love it. All right, Zachary Neal, thank you, man. I appreciate you popping on with us.
Thanks, John. Anytime.
All right, there he is. The whiteout game at Penn State in week 5. I have it down as a loss for Oregon. I think Oregon has nothing to lose going into that game. And look, you don't ever really want to lose a football game unless you have to as a football program. You wouldn't say, hey, there's such a thing as a good loss. But is it possible that Ohio State had 2 good losses last year? They lost to Oregon at Autzen Stadium, got a little chip on their shoulder and a recalibration. Then they had kind of an embarrassing loss against Michigan, the post-game stuff, Ryan Day getting calls for his head, and all of a sudden Ohio State shows up in the playoff, and they look really focused. I'm not saying it would be a good loss. I'm not saying that. Sometimes the way you lose matters. But going into a hostile environment in week 5, a whiteout game, I kind of have that penciled in as a loss for Oregon, but let's see. Let's see how they react. I want you to leave it here. So much more ahead.